Okay, this is board time Wednesday, 2nd of April. Okay, Mark and Chris have not returned, so we're going to skip over the first item on the agenda, which is the weapons policy discussion. And I'm going to actually jump the agenda. We have been asked by Randy Miller from the Port of Ridgefield for a letter of support for a Tiger Grant application. I believe you received email on this. They have received letters of support from Patty Murray's office, Jamie Herrera Butler's office, from a bunch of from the city of Ridgefield, all the officials there.
Why would we say no?
Well, we don't want to say, well, C-Tran gave one too, that.
Exactly. That's
and different. So we've been asked to join them in support of this project,
sure.
And so Axel,
rules here.
Actually, yeah, exactly. Jeff Swanson has drafted a letter.
So that's where. That's where, matter of fact, I have one drafted.
Just so happens.
So for Ridgefield, we want to support Ridgefield.
Always.
So this,
you do.
I should have had copies for each of you. I neglected to make them, but it says Clark County supports support of Ridgefield's Tiger 2014 application to secure $6.5 million for the Pioneer Street Overpass project. Good. This amount will fund the final phase of the project, providing safe, grade-separated access to the port's waterfront properties. And it goes on to elaborate on the virtues of the project.
That has been on work list forever.
Yeah, it was like
I thought we had it done.
No, it's one of the because this is the overpass down at downtown Ridgefield, going over to the waterfront.
There, yeah.
They've got a little bit of money in hand for it, but they need a big chunk. They looked like they were on the list for the state transportation revenue package. No, they didn't get any for that. They got the interchange as part of the nickel package. They got the Ridgefield interchange and a couple of cool things.
Separation, I thought, was a priority.
It is a priority. It's a huge priority.
Yeah, but this the Tiger, I think, is a federal program. So we've actually applied for Tiger monies before.
Exactly.
So I've got signature blocks for all three of you. If you're willing to sign that, we can get that to Randy and have him include it with his application.
And Brent Granny came in today and was talking about some port stuff and was very appreciative that we were considering this.
Yeah, and thanks for jogging me on that.
Yeah, don't worry. He jogged me, so it worked out pretty well.
Okay.
Wow. Get to sign the Ridgefield for you.
Exactly.
Conflict of interest there.
Well, sign off on stuff, yeah.
Next week you'll be signing the acceptance.
Yeah, that's the other side of the check.
Yeah, and exactly. We better get a thank you lunch or something.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Axel is going to talk about the timeline for, you can't really replace him, but for filling the vacancy created by Commissioner Stewart.
The guy whose body is still warm and that you're already, people are already not only circling, but they've already got me in the casket and in the ground.
So with Commissioner Stewart leaving shortly, which you'll see in number one still has blanks because he hasn't given us a timeline yet. But
I'm signing
sure
it.
That's coming.
It's
so
coming in 10 minutes.
We dug up some old materials from the last time this occurred, which was in 2004 when Commissioner Pragmore left and Commissioner Stewart came in. So what you have here is steps 1 through 5, kind of Rebecca and I went through this and kind of retyped this document to give you an idea of kind of the steps and the timelines we put in pencil because we didn't know what you all would want to do. But basically starting with after Steve gives you his letter today with dates in it, the way we would move forward is that you both would sign a letter, which the second thing you have in your packet is a copy of a reworded last time letter to the Clark County Democratic Chairman. And that letter basically declares that there is a vacancy in the 3rd District and that we would like them to submit when they're ready and available 3 names for appointment. The third thing we would have to do is kind of the one thing that has a real timeline with it, because we have to give notice for the public interviews of those 3 individuals. Commissioners Milky and Gore, you guys would give those.
I was
going to
say, I haven't seen the resignation letter yet.
You did. You have now. I got to get for this folder back.
So the third thing we would do is need to notice that. So you can see there, I worked with Rebecca on a schedule. If we were just moving along, that would put us somewhere around May 13th. With notice requirements and other things, depending on how fast the party gets back, 3 days.
So that covers the weekend.
What's that? I asked them, and they said it's last work day. My health benefits go through the end of April, and they prorate it by work day. So I asked. I was like, should I make it Sunday? You know, Sunday is the last day. Does it make a difference? They said, no, we would take whether you say it's Sunday or whether you say it's end of day Friday.
Life insurance?
It's all covered. So, yeah, I asked Dave, I forget what Dave's last name is.
So, again, these dates that Rebecca and I looked at the calendar coming up and looked around work sessions, hearings, and those kind of things, these can move. The May 13th date for interviews, we could move that up a week. We could move that out a week. And then it looks like last time, if you look at your last document, there's a resolution attached for whoever you do end up interviewing and selecting. We would pass a resolution basically saying that that person has been, you know, legally appointed to this position, and last time it was Commissioner Stewart, and that was actually done the week after the interviews. So the way they did it is that they interviewed the person, they made the decision, and then a week later it came back on consent, they formally adopted the resolution, and then swore in what would have been Commissioner Stewart at that time. So that's kind of how the process
was sworn in, like the day after his became effective.
Yeah,
I'd forgotten it was
I don't know that that's, you know, any kind of requirement. We could have held the interviews on a Tuesday morning. It's where the person then immediately
could have done it whenever. It's just
okay. Just the way it was.
So it's a draft. I would assume that we would get, each of us would meet with Chris Horn. We'd get a copy of the RCW so that we're informed of the process, and we would come back with a schedule or with a plan ahead. Because I haven't done my homework on this yet. I'd like to make sure we get this
right. I think all we'd be looking for today is approval to prepare this letter for you two to sign to the party chair. That's really the only step that probably needs to happen.
This letter here?
The second page?
Yeah, because now that we have formally a resignation with a date, that allows you two, Commissioner Milkey and Medora, to then formally send and request the names from the party.
I must have missed that part of the RCW when I was reading it, because I thought that I was to expect a letter from the Democrat Party after Commissioner Stewart had left.
Well, no, I mean, you can see by the letter, I mean, the way I understand the RCW is once there is a declared, or once there will be a vacancy and we have an effective date for that vacancy, then...
But he's still here.
I know. No.
But the 60-day clock starts as of that midnight on
right,
the
11th.
The 60-day clock starts.
Right. And we have to tell them that, because they don't know it. We do.
They put it in the newspaper. Of course they know that.
Yeah. Well, did they put the 11th in there?
They were still asking me at the little thing where they were talking to the candidates. They were like, which date is going to be? I'm like,
I would think that we would give... I'm sorry. Yeah. We would of course forward a copy of that letter that Steve just signed to the party.
Yeah.
And that would serve as notice.
Yeah, my assumption, and you can see that letter here, you just basically say, we have gotten a formal notice from Commissioner Stewart that he will be vacating his seat effective on. Attached is that letter. Please send us the three names that the party chooses as their replacements. There's only two, you know, that's the only two formalities, is the chair of our board or both of you send a letter to their party chair, and then they send you a formal letter indicating what the three names for replacement will be.
Do we have a copy of Article 2, Section 15 here somewhere?
I can get that. I have it on my desk.
I was actually just looking for it. I couldn't find it. Do you?
I've got an email. Where I emailed it to Rebecca a couple days ago.
Okay, cool. Thank you. Yeah, that's literally what I was just looking for. I'm like, I don't know what it says. Because that's the one place they always point to, saying, well, that's where it specifies the beginnings of and the responsibilities for the process.
Yeah, because you have one RCW saying 5 days, you have the Constitution saying 60.
Right. And that got clarified.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Constitution trumps the RCW.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So while he gets us a copy of that part of the Constitution, what's next?
Well, Axel's going to talk about the policy assistant railroad coordinator, but he's already back.
Oh, that's just
fast.
An email I sent to Rebecca, but that's the body of it.
That's
and
the article?
I can pull you up the actual article after the meeting. But it lays it out fairly clearly.
It does?
What? Okay.
Is that the article? Article 2, Section 15?
Yeah, we'll go over later.
Yeah, I'll get it.
Yes.
Just see, Axel did his homework. And
and you can give us a copy, each one of us a copy.
Haven't we posted the policy assist. Oh no, that's a different one. Never mind. I thought that was Jeff. I think we're in agreement with the new drafting of the policy assistant railroad coordinator.
Here's the. This is revised. So on that last one, did you two want me to prepare this letter? Or I mean,
we prepared it. It's just, do you want us to prepare it?
I want to be able to read that part of that, so I know what it says first.
And I will say to you guys, and this is the one time and only time I will say it, my request going out of here is that to make sure that there is representation from the third commissioner district and to have a third commissioner that provides that voice on this commission. I'm asking you to move forward in a judicious but expedited fashion, and whatever that means to you. But
check with Ed Barnes and see when he could be here.
Yeah, exactly. That'll be for you to interview or not, as far as that goes. But that is my request as someone who has served in this position. I do want to make sure there is someone in here. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
As soon as I get back from vacation.
Okay, so
no one will care. Here's the Article 15 one.
Thank you.
Well, it's clear as mud.
We owe them the courtesy of a letter of notification.
So are we no one a letter to notify, or you
not
do
yet.
Want to,
not yet.
Not okay. yet. So next week?
Hang on to it.
Yeah, it's already done. I just got to put it on letter.
We're going to do it after we read this and check with him.
Okay.
Okay, so.
What do we got?
What is it? What are we on now, Commissioner? Are we on the job description?
Policy assistant.
Okay, so this was a rework from last week. Commissioner Mielke and I had a discussion. Mainly, it was Commissioner Mielke and I about he did some work on comparables and other positions. We talked about a salary range closer to 50 to 75. I went through and looked through some salary classifications. Came up with an M2-816 or an M2-817, which I did discuss with Francine. Those are kind of right in this range. Commissioner Mielke gave me some things to rework on the description. I did that. And so this is a hasty draft. It will be reworked and probably hopefully shined up a little bit by Judy Alexander and HR, but this is where we are today with the job description and the salary range for
them. How soon can we go out?
Well, I'd have to talk. Judy was gone a little bit, so she was back yesterday, and she was working with me on this yesterday. So she has this right now. She's working on it, I think, right now. So my hope would be sooner than later.
Do you expect changes?
I don't. Nothing substantive. I mean, she knows that this is what the board and what we've kind of agreed with. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
But, yeah, this is where we landed. So I would hope soon.
Well, basically what we did, we lowered the requirements, thus lowering the pay.
Yes, that Axel showed me the kind of the changes you made. Yeah. So that gets it out the door, and so you feel good about it.
It did require a bachelor's degree. We put any combination of education, training, and experience. So basically, you know, allows more people in the door, and we can judge them on their combination of that. And we just reworded a few other things, but
in the process of approving.
We'll probably wait until we get that. Anything changes that she might have. But
well, I mean, of actually the applicants.
Oh, well, the board usually hires these.
We'll have a staff go through. And
The board hired him.
Yeah,
the board has hired, most of the people in the suite, like policy analysts, the board just hires.
Okay.
Yeah. So how it worked with me was you got all these applicants, and then Leslie downstairs, I think, usually does kind of an initial screening for qualifications. And then the way it worked last time was there was kind of a staff review of about 12, an interview with like 12 of us.
Yeah.
And then they sent the top 4 or 5 to the board. And
mm-hmm. See what we got. We might want to redo that.
You might need a new process because you didn't
see. I was going to say, whatever it is, it worked really well.
Yeah. Well, there was.
So let's not do it that way.
The economy, there was a lot of applicants.
There were.
I was sweating. There was a lot of people here. Good people.
I think we had 70 applicants.
Yeah, 70.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll move forward and work with Judy and get this going as soon as I can.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Chris was here and he doubled.
Yeah, well, he handed me what we needed. He handed me two things. One is a resolution that I don't have a resolution number on, so I need to get a resolution number for it. He brought the revised letter that was amended based on board input during the executive session.
Okay.
And that had to do with paragraph 1, moving the the event of a breach of the interlocal from the end of the paragraph to the front. And it also made paragraph 3 a little less specific regarding, oh, I'm sorry.
Made it specific to the chief. Paragraph
2 appointing Chris as substitute counsel.
Perfect.
So, subject to those amendments, does the board approve?
We have two actions to do.
Right. So, subject to those two amendments to the letter to the Washington County's risk pool regarding our potential eviction from the pool, does the board make a motion?
Do we need to make formal action?
Yeah, you need to formally vote to approve sending the letter and vote to approve the signing of the resolution that sets our membership or establishes our three alternate members. One has always been the risk manager. The other has been the county administrator. We're just saying we're going to substitute our substitute a member of the board for a member from our office. Mm-hmm. I think it's better for us to be advocates. I don't necessarily want to be on the risk pool's alternate directors list, and I'll leave it up to the board who's more qualified.
Okay. All right.
Motion.
Sure. I move that we accept and sign and send the letter as proposed here.
I'd second that.
Been moved and seconded to accept the letter as amended. Any further discussion on the letter? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
So it's just the board signature?
Well, then we have to do the resolution changing the board, the composition.
Correct.
Right.
Is that what's in your hand?
Yes. Sir.
Okay. Do you want to read it?
Okay. Second item is a resolution number 2014-04-03, which appoints current Clark County representatives to the Washington County's risk pool. It reads, now therefore be it hereby resolved by the Board of Clark County Commissioners that the following positions shall serve as the Clark County representatives to the Washington County's risk pool. Risk manager as the county's primary representative. Clark County Administrator as alternate, and the Chair of the Board of County Commissioners as alternate to the pool. And that would be adopted and approved on the 15th day of April. Today's the 2nd.
I didn't put that up. I'm sorry.
Okay. And we have two alternates. We got the Chair and the...
And the County Administrator.
So we got basically two alternates.
Correct.
Equally pick one.
Correct. And in the event one needs to go and can't, the other might be able to.
So we can adopt this here?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So I move that we accept and approve resolution number 2014-04-03.
Second.
Okay, moving second to... accept the reorganization of the risk pool
representation.
Any further discussion on that? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Oh, God. Excuse me, but Steve Stewart's name should be on this. You have unappointed slash vacant.
Oh.
One. No, but by the time you send it in and everything, mine's affected the 11th, so...
I'm glad to have Mark make this change. He prepared this.
I think it's probably fine, but...
Your choice, Commissioner.
Let me see.
Okay. Well,
it's
fine.
If you don't mind signing over... It's not correct because the date is... It's not technically correct because you're still in office.
Because it says adopted and approved the 15th of April, and that's why you put that on.
Probably.
But that's 13 days from now.
Yeah. So whatever. We can sign it. Part. Yeah, exactly. I would move for reconsideration of the resolution. Just then we'll have put my name on it.
Okay, I second that.
We'll move to second for reconsideration of the amendment, or of the
resolution.
Assignment. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Move to amend the resolution to change unappointed vacant under commissioners to put Steve Stewart, because the date is the 2nd of April as opposed to the 15th.
Oh, yes.
So.
You made the motion.
I made the motion.
I second that.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor accepting it as amended.
Aye. Cool. Okay. Good?
Yep, we just need
to sign
from the chair.
Okay.
Well, we just changed it. You did. Why don't you
get a clean copy?
I'll get it.
So they've already voted on it. Just bring it back cleaned up.
Yeah, the chicken's grass.
Yeah.
It could be worse. It could be in red.
Fair enough.
Okay, that shouldn't have been so painful.
We got the technical stuff now.
Okay, before we move into commissioner reports, I got three little things.
Did you need to do the weapons policy thing too?
Oh yeah, we do.
When Chris here.
When Chris comes back.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm out on Friday the 4th and Monday the 7th. That's this coming Friday and Monday. Francine Rice is our senior director, so I've asked her to mind the store in my absence. So if anybody needs anything, they can go to Francine. Okay. Chris Cook and Oliver Orjaco have asked me to just remind the board that as we proceed with the 2016 comp plan update and as we handle other land use actions, that we have to keep meticulous records of all correspondence relating to those actions. And I know, Commissioner Madore, in your case, we are no longer opening your mail. And so the onus is on Anna then to ensure that if there are comp plan documents, letters, or whatnot from constituents or from any other source, that
absolutely,
they need to be date stamped and copies need to be provided to staff.
And she knows that.
Okay.
Pardon me? You related that to her.
I will. So in order to strengthen our hand, if litigation follows any of our actions, having a comprehensive record is vital to a successful defense. The last thing is that I was called by Nan Henriksen, the chair of the Freeholders Board. She was made aware of a change to their website or their webpage, and voiced considerable concern to me that that the change that was made was not approved by the Board of Freeholders, or they were not even consulted on it. And she just wanted me to remind you that board is separately elected and it's autonomous. And if anyone has any change or any suggestion for that board, that it needs to be run by her so she can take it to the board for consideration.
What kind of change was it?
Web pages were merged. There were several pages or two, and they were combined so that they look like all the rest of the pages on the website. And I called the website up when I had her on the phone, and I remarked to her that whatever change was made doesn't look like it hurt anything. In fact, their web pages look very nice, and they're very organized and very neat and very tidy. And I asked her, do you want us to reverse the changes? And she said, well, in light of what you just said, no. But just please remind the commissioners that that we're autonomous. We were elected by the citizens, and our business is our business. And if you want to get involved in it, please consult with us.
Okay. And we'll respect them and continue to
bargain. You complained about insurance.
Well, this is different, sir, honestly.
Same difference.
Okay.
Please don't change it. We just want you to tell us.
Yeah, so we will respect them. So if they want to send, if there's any appropriate response from MAC from us and say, absolutely, we want to respect your autonomy, how better can we serve you?
Okay. All right. So now we have to do the rescission of the decision not to enforce the weapons policy.
As a result of prior discussions, the board, as an interim measure, made an amendment to the current HR policy, or actually an addendum to the HR policy. And basically the interim provision said that no disciplinary action would be taken against any county employee who possessed a concealed weapon if that weapon was not carried in an open manner and they were and they had legal documentation authorizing them to carry it. We would request, based on the proposed letter that the board is sending to the risk pool, that you rescind this amendment, and the board will adopt, we can adopt at a later time, the individual exceptions that are discussed in the letter to the risk pool. So this is action to fulfill the letter that we're going to be sending to the risk pool.
I think what we did that with the nod before. We really didn't take action, did we?
Right. That's why you're taking it now as relates to that change to the HR policy.
Oh, okay.
And you have to do it in a public meeting.
Okay.
Was there a formal change to the, was that a formal change in the HR policy that said we won't enforce?
Yeah, we actually amended the HR policy as a result of the vote.
We're amending it today.
Okay, so
we'll do both by public action.
So
basically you're looking for a motion that would do, that would basically say, in fact, I'll make the motion, you can correct me if I need to fine-tune it, that we would rescind the suspension of, or we rescind the amendment of that policy.
Correct.
And we would, that nothing prevents us from making appropriate exceptions to that policy on a case-by-case basis.
Correct.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, move and second that we adopt the new policy with special exceptions to weapons in the workplace. Any other discussion?
Nope.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Okay.
Booking.
That's okay.
Is that the revised?
Yeah.
We don't need this, do we?
No, apparently not.
Okay.
Okay, this is the revised resolution that was voted on previously, and it has been corrected for the motion and the vote.
Yep.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks,
Chris.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Steve, anything? Commissioner?
No, I got nothing. I'm here.
George.
I know, seriously. I said, like I said in the letter, April 11th will be my last day. I will be here on April 11th. I don't know for, it probably won't be for the full day, but I to close out and keys and key cards and all that fun stuff. And then they walk me out with like an armed guard or something. I don't know. It's probably, I think that's the process.
That's what we requested.
Exactly. That's one of those special exceptions of allowing people to carry is like taking me out. But yeah, next Friday will be my official last day. And I don't know, I won't be here for board time next week. I am going to take a few days off and get away.
We're not having.
Yeah, no hearing on Tuesday.
No hearing.
Yeah, it hurt.
There's a possibility we may not have a work session.
You mean
board time?
Board time. I mean.
I saw on the calendar it said no board time.
There you go.
Oh, it did?
It did?
No,
Mark's like, wait, what?
I had things to talk about.
I didn't have anything to do with that. I can check with the clerk.
Okay. Let's see what develops.
Yeah.
But I don't have anything else as far as that was on my agenda that had been languishing. So we're all good.
We're good. I had a couple things I wanted to reiterate.
I thought we were going to be 3 for 3.
Nice try.
I'm easy. I want to make sure that we do a follow-up and not lose momentum of relocating the youth house to the Dolly building.
I was going to come see you. I told you I was going to work with Laura on that. Laura talked with Dee Dee. We pulled the lease. I could have brought the email in here. I was just going to come see you with it. It turns out that our rate is very, I would say, favorable is a good word there. We're not, Laura looked at market rate for space downtown square footage and she broke it out and we're paying a very favorable rate at the youth house. So I did have a conversation with Dee Dee. Both her and Elizabeth are open to those conversations about, what we currently do in the youth house, how it's paid for, move, not move. One thing Dee Dee did want me to reiterate was there's a number of programs in there. The funding for those programs coming from a number of places, so it's not as though the general fund is just paying for that whole rent there. It actually is just paying for a portion of the rent.
So it's not just the youth house? There's other things?
No, it's the youth house. There's just a number of programs within it.
More importantly is that we own the Dolly House.
Yeah.
We pay rent to somebody else there.
That's
in the Dolly building where we have room.
That's right.
But
Laura also, she compared the market rate at the Dolly building to what we're paying at the youth house, and we're paying considerably lower rate per square foot at the youth house currently than what is the market rate at the Dolly building, so that's something
but
to consider.
We have more than one operation there. But the fact is that we need to move into our own building. So we pay ourselves instead of some...
Correct, but I think there is a discussion that we need to have about the compatibility of the Dolly building with the programs at the youth house. That's what's missing in the discussion.
That's right.
We talked a little bit about that last time with almost all of what they do is after hours with kids, and there's some issues there with both what is happening activity-wise in the Dolly building and...
We could adapt to that. The point is that
the issue, sir,
we need to utilize our buildings.
The issue is the other tenants and... Mm-hmm. The acceptability to the other tenants of new activities in the building. We have tried to fill space in that building with activities that were incompatible with the other tenants, and they make a stink.
The vacancy is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Right. But we may end up with more vacancies if we put the wrong function in there.
Why don't I set up a meeting with you and I and Laura? We'll start there. We'll look at what we've pulled up for research.
Just like this building here.
Yeah.
We have access after hours, too.
Yeah.
So it can be done, but I think that should be what we strive for.
I think you're right. I think that we just need to take it in steps to where we understand fully what those programs need, and then, you know, also the market rates at each place.
So is there a problem with the lease in the building that they're in?
I don't think so.
Language?
I have a copy, so we can look at that. Okay. I mainly just looked at what the rates were and how we were doing comparably.
Because you may owe them 6 months' rent if terminate early.
I didn't look at the termination clause or anything like that.
Can you find out how much we actually pay?
We can spend
over there.
Time frame improving the
four something a month.
Really?
I have
400 something a month.
No, 1,000.
Oh, 4,000.
Yikes.
Well, but it's downtown. I mean, you've got
that portion. See, we also have another portion of that building where Joel Walsh was in.
Yeah.
Probably not counted in that same.
No, and I think it is. That's another thing that we need to look at is there are various programs with various funding streams that are housed in that building.
When I borrow money from myself and pay myself interest, the big difference.
Yeah.
When I borrow from the bank,
I
pay the bank interest.
I understand.
Okay.
So I'll set something up with Laura.
I appreciate it. I think we're on the right track with animal control. We met with
Paul,
and he was already going down that road, and some of the things that we were looking at, imaginary three steps, and one of the first steps that we want to do would be improve the paperwork, and put it onto a laptop or an iPad. But we're talking about the iPad would be something that we could maybe take a picture with.
Yep.
Down the road in phase three, that stuff would be entered on the iPad as to the animal, the photograph of the animal, and push enter, and it goes into our system immediately.
That'd be cool.
And so someone with a lost pet could access our website before the animal is even taken to a shelter and know that their dog was picked up, and they see Fluffy's picture right there. Mm-hmm. That's like stage three down the way. One of the things we're moving with now, Paul has already been looking into a little bit, is what kind of a program, what is going to work with Tidemark or what program we would need or going to.
That'd be
whatever.
Disaster.
And I think that's what he said. But we're looking for something affordable. Something that's out there. The good thing is that Paul is looking at it, and we have more of a clarification now as to what we're looking for. And that is an iPad or a piece of equipment that will work for us in phase three as well as today.
Yeah, in the next few months, the citizens will be able to renew their licenses online, new licenses online, so we can eliminate the paper back and forth.
And we were do something along the line of to reiterate the penalty. Remember last time we increased the penalty for not being licensed? Mm-hmm. It might be a good thing to do a press release as we move forward in improving our service to the people, that remind them it's easier to license than it is to pay the fee.
Because you have to pay the license fee as well. So
you
want to pay both.
So we had a big surge of licensing.
That was an amnesty period, I think, wasn't it?
Just say, hey, come in and sign up now, you know. So that's really going well. That's really good.
Okay.
And the other thing, I don't know if we have a full handle on it, but we talked about last time, being shorthanded here, Pauline is helping us with our invocation, getting people come here. We're not only skeleton crew, but we're shorthanded. We do have Rebecca back. We were down to probably short three, four people. So we're back up online on that.
Yeah, and on that note, Commissioner, when Tina gets back, we're going to meet and we're going to discuss having an invocation section on the commissioner's webpage where we can have the terms of the program, we can have the awesome. Contact list, we can have a sign-up sheet, the whole and a calendar where people can plug their name in. You know what date? What date?
We found out that when you got the invitation out to them, whatever, they were grateful to be here and tickled to death. It's just that they didn't know how to get them connected. So that'd be great. That'd be great. I'll save us a lot of time. Yeah.
Most pastors that I talk to, they don't know anything about it.
Isn't that amazing?
Nothing.
We've called them along the way, or somebody at the church, and we've sent letters. But you know, within their own organization, it may not get followed through. So it's up to us.
I think they throw the paper in the trash.
from the county, must be a bill. And that's all I have.
One other one you brought up last week, Commissioner Milkey, that I did some work on was the surplus lands. We have a work session planned for this month for that. I met with Larry Free downstairs. We went over kind of what he has been working on with some of the other staff, mainly GIS and then the other departments that have a lot. But anyways, he's got a whole work up. He's got his PowerPoint ready to show you guys. I thought it looked pretty good. And what the hope there that he's going to, what we're going to do with the board is to go through kind of the process and the policies and priorities with regard to property that you want us to look into so that we can start bringing you back chunks of these each quarter and say, here's what staff's identified given your criteria as parcels we think might be either ready for surplus or ready for a change, change in use. And then we'll bring those to us. We'll walk through them with you, and then you'll tell us what to do with them. But he's got a pretty good outline for that, I think, and he's ready. Yeah. So he's getting a couple more things from Public Works and a couple more things from, I think, Vanessa Gaston and Community Services. But
is that tied into GIS?
Yeah, because that's GIS and the assessor's office, obviously. That's kind of how we really keep a track on which department owns what.
So as we bring those forward, that'll be an electronic thing so we can see here's the specific and there it is on the map.
I think so.
Yep. So we had one the other day we took action on, and that was that blocked piece of land between in the middle of between some houses and whatnot.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The point is by trying to sell it or give it to the adjacent owners, we don't have the maintenance cost.
And it returns to the tax rolls.
And it returns it to the tax rolls. And I think that down the way as we approach these, and we have a whole bunch of things that we've discovered here a while back where we had bought a road right away, and it's been so long that we've owned it that the neighborhood had grown up, and we had this strip down the middle for about a block or two, and I come to find out they were complaining about the mess over there, and we looked in to see who we were going to send the bill to, and it was us. So it's... so that's what we hope to address along the way, and so that's good.
I think we'll be on our way there after that work session. When I set this meeting up, what I'm gonna do is set it up with Laura as kind of our properties project manager, but with Dee Dee and Elizabeth, do you want to meet over on site at the youth house so you can look and say, okay, this program's here, and get like a visual of what's going on in the youth house?
No, they could show us. I know there's two or three operations there.
Okay. Yeah,
because there's another group there, I think, too.
There's a few groups there. One
Joe had an office there. Yep. Then there's a youth house itself.
Okay.
That has the bottom floor.
Yep.
I was aware of that.
Yeah.
Did you ever get the Joe Walsh thing figured out?
Yes.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah. We got the green light to move ahead.
Joe was going to help
rewrite the job description, right?
And we did that.
Yeah, we did that. And I had that conversation with Dee Dee as well, and I followed up with her.
Awesome. We hope to have that posted.
That's awesome. Good.
Not already. Okay. That's all I have.
Okay, next then we have a work session request to 10-step from Ron Waringa, Don Benton, and it's to talk about the Clark County Stormwater Manual and Municipal Code Update. And what this does, it translates the latest permit into our local documents to help implement the program. We have to have that up to the Department of Ecology by the 1st of July. And so they want to walk you through it and gain your approval to have Don Benton certify it and launch it.
1 hour?
Uh-huh.
It's only half a page.
The
back page for this thing.
The manual and the municipal code update is considerably more than a page.
Okay, good.
So if you recall the solid waste management plan that we just looked at was like this. Mm-hmm. Okay, so approved to schedule that. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. We have actually 5 vacancy review requests. The agenda says 4. When I tell you about the 5th one, you'll understand why I brought it. The first one that I have is for public health. It's funded by federal grants and State Public Health Foundation, and it's HIV case manager.
I got it. I'm great. Green light for me.
Who works with
100% general fund, 90% federal, 10% state.
And it helps control the issue in our community and helps.
Okay.
Okay, that's good.
Back to you.
Okay, and then we have 3 for public works, 1 highway maintenance specialist, 1 heavy equipment operator, and 1 engineering technician senior.
I'm good on all 3. Let's build infrastructure.
So we had 2 retirements and a promotion, so no negativity there.
Yeah.
Well, I had a question on the engineering technician.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to be vacant for another month or month and a half. Do we know what projects he's working on right now?
Well, the person...
because I know our workload is somewhat down from what it had been in the past. I don't think we've increased immensely so with new projects. So can we have more clarification?
Well, construction season's starting.
Yeah.
We have time.
Well, they're all road signs.
Plus, we have to recruit and gain applications, and by the time they get here and learn where the restrooms are and the break rooms are, and
I think
we need to move ahead.
We come back next week and ask what
sure.
project he's working
sure.
on.
Sure, I'll bring Heath, and he can talk to you.
Which one is that?
This is the engineering
technician. Whether there's board time next week?
I hand my name.
Oh, that's right.
I'll check.
Well, why don't we work it this way? You already got my green light, and when you behind the scenes, when you get your information, then you can give them the green light.
Talking about me. I mean, yeah, I leave it to you guys on this. I'm not.
That way we don't have to wait for a week.
Okay.
Or two.
All right. Thank you.
I'm thinking that unless he's involved actually in something else, that can't be handled by somebody else. It probably wouldn't hurt to put that off.
Okay. Yeah, we do have board time next week.
Oh, okay.
We do.
We do. Yeah.
We have work session too.
Okay. If you don't give me the authority to fill this, I will be shocked and appalled. That is Heath Henderson's vacancy as the manager of the engineering and construction division. So Heath was promoted to public works director. Mm-hmm. This is to replace Heath in his previous capacity.
You're going to advertise this in-house first?
I recommend we do not.
This is a big job.
I expect that he knows the appropriate way to fill that seat. So.
Yeah, he's got very strong internal candidates, we need to start recruiting externally.
The reason I asked that question is that it doesn't go over very well when you hire someone around someone that's been here for a few years. You know, we got in trouble here a while back, hiring someone from the outside and starting them off at higher wages and let the people in parallel position were making. And we would do that by looking at internal first.
You're going to have a few. You're going to have Schulte, Bill Wright.
Schulte turned it down because he's looking to retire.
No, that's what I'm saying. You're going to have those two guys. You're going to have other vacancies coming up. And so the people who you would normally think of internally that might step right in.
We're exhausting it.
I don't know all of them, and I thought maybe Heath would.
I think that's why he wants to go externally.
Heath wants to go externally.
Because he's got some holes that he's going to have to fill, and so he knows he's going to have to mix it up and do some internal and some external. Okay. This may be an internal one, ultimately, but by opening it up, he'll start developing a pool of candidates that he needs for Schulte and Wright's positions.
Really close to retirement.
Yeah.
And I do know that he has a very strong couple of internal candidates for the position. But
all right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Cool.
All right. Very good. Commissioner Murphy, that's all I have. If you want to go to the rest of the...
And before you go to the others, just one quick do-over. Fireworks. What is the schedule on that? Someone was asking me about it. They're like, before you leave, tell me what the schedule is. And I was like, I think we decided to try to get something done before the 4th of July this year.
But what I understood, though, is that we could have action, but it wouldn't be in effect until next year.
Right. That's what I understood as well, is that we were going to try to do it, do the action before 4th of July this year, but it wouldn't take effect until next year. Is that still the plan?
Yes.
It is. What are you looking sideways at me for?
Because I...
Out in Ridgefield, we're lighting stuff off left and right. So, yeah.
Because he dropped it on the floor and it rolled under his desk.
That was one of those things where you guys had decided, you changed your mind and you wanted to get it rushed.
Yeah.
We wanted to get it moving before July 4th.
Okay.
And I'm smiling because I got to do it.
Because it's on you. Okay. Got it. But I will convey that answer and then I'm out.
Smiling because he's already done it.
I know. I don't know. When he's smiling, it always makes me nervous. I'm happier when he's scowling at me.
Because
I'm used to it.
Yeah, so if he's not a wet blanket, something's wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
Hurry up.
Thank you.
All right, that's hurry up next.
Yeah. Well, you're actually anything else you have for us?
No.
Holly.
I'm good.
Oh, my goodness. Just too good.
A Blackhawk? What is it?
No, it just looks like a regular.
Yeah, it sounds like a Huey to me.
Yeah. That makes a news chopper, right? Yeah. Did you see Jeff was feeling a little weird because FSEC has their meeting out here.
Uh-huh.
I went down. There's a hot dog cart, by the way. It's actually pretty good. just on the corner on the backside of the building, there's a hot dog cart.
I heard about that.
It's pretty good. He's still got some work to do on stuff. But
not in our parking lot, is he?
No, he's not. He's on the corner of
by the medical
Kaufman and whatever this room is.
That's where the M.E. is.
Yeah, perfect.
I wouldn't eat a hot dog next to the ME's office.
Bad call. But there were a bunch of, when I went out there were a bunch of like protesters all with their signs and stuff about FSEC stuff. So that may have been a news chopper.
I know you're talking about the chopper, but I mentioned Two Blade.
Yeah, Two Blade. When
they get that, certain pitch,
yep.
I used to come right out of the house.
Yep.
Not really.
50 caliber.
Oh, yeah.
Not just like that.
Oh, wow.
50 caliber machine guns.
All
right, it's all we have.
That's it.
We're done.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks all.
Okay, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Yeah, good job. Exactly.